Can we stand up and pick a text from 2 Peter chapter 1? Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1 gives us a lead for what we want to say. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, 11 and 12. Verse 10 says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so, if you give diligence, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." May the Lord have blessed the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. I want to emphasize something here. Verse 10 speaks about diligence in seeking the Lord. Here, Apostle Peter is speaking again about the need to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence. And if you do this, you will never fall. Give diligence. Every one of us is called. Every Christian, anyone professing Christ has come to Christ. You responded to a call. But the mystery of redemption does not stop in calling. It's not enough that you came, because the movement, the exodus from darkness to light, from Egypt to the promised land, the exodus from earth to glory, the process of redemption goes along. It is so open that it attracts mixed multitude. Therefore, like Apostle Paul would say, it's not all Israel that is of Israel. Not all Christians are of Christ. Therefore, he said, be diligent to make your calling. Give diligence. Say, give it. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Why? Because many are called, but few are chosen. And it is only wise for you to make sure that you are not in a bad wagon. See, when you study this Bible, it gives you a lot of, you know, food for thought. If you are studying, church, listen, this ministry is God's attempt to remove people from the spirit of religion. The first deliverance that any Christian needs today is deliverance from the spirit of religion. The entire message, that's why I used to tell my ministers, fellow ministers here, that if you say you are an evangelist, evangelist in the entire message is different from evangelist in the denomination. An evangelist in the entire message is not going to unbelievers in beer parlor. We are going to the Christian world. We are sent to go with a shout to the Christians, those who think that they are saved, to let them know that you are not saved, oh, they are deceiving you. Therefore, the evangelist in the entire message must know the Bible. You must know the message. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am saying this because Every day when you turn and you look at Christianity, what is going on in the Christian world today, if you are restored to this Bible faith, if your typos, if your bearing is from this Bible, you will ask questions and you will get the answer. Your heart will bleed for what Satan has done to Christianity. I'm telling you. Now, Apostle Paul, Peter was speaking that, wherefore, verse 12, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them and be established in the present truth. Now, an academic person, an intellectual, we say, when was this episode written? When was it written? So when Peter said present, he's talking at that, the present of that time. Amen. But let me tell you, there are some things that Peter spoke, the apostle spoke, even Jesus himself spoke, that was not meant for that time. It was meant for another time. And that time is the present. When the word of God is fulfilled, that means that scripture was given for that time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to watch the first parable in the scripture when Christ decided to let us know the history of what the church will go through. It's the parable of the wheat and tares. As the church started, he let us know that after he sowed the good seed. In Matthew chapter 13, if you read it from verse 24. After he sowed the good seed, he said the enemy went and sowed his own tares in the same farm. That farm is the church of Jesus Christ. Therefore, if you are there carrying your Bible and going to church and saying, anybody that is going to church, he's my brother, he's my sister, that we are all church of God, church of this, church of that, it simply means you have not yet understood that there are tares also in the church. Somebody called me during the week. I don't know wherever you called me from. That he's just discussing with one of our members. And our member said that we are not members of the Christian Association of Nigeria. Is it true? I said, please, what is that? What do you call it? What is Christian Association of Nigeria? What is it? He said, I don't know Christian. I said, explain, tell me now what it is. Which chapter in the Bible? I've forgotten. Please remind me. He said, but where all the Christians come together. I said, apart from the Bible, another place again where all Christians come together. I say we all come together in Christ, not in Christian Association of Nigeria. You are not my member. I mean, you are not my brother because you are a member of an association. I am your brother. You are my sister. You are a sister church. Because the same thing binds us all. We are all Nigerians, not by an association, but there is a book known as the Constitution of Nigeria that every leader swears to defend. That is what has kept Nigeria together as a country, though we differ in tribes and cultures. But we are Nigerians bound together by a book known as the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. We are Christians together because we are gathered together all by God in Christ. Not gathered in an association formed by men. If you don't understand that, you'll be looking at Christian Association of Nigeria as a scriptural gathering. It is not so. It is an attempt of some people to come together in order to protect themselves from the perceived whatever it is the enemy could do in a country like Nigeria, so that we can have common interest and fight together. Christian Association of Nigeria is not a Christian gathering, but it is a pressure group. And they have not committed sin, because there is freedom of association granted by the Constitution of Nigeria. And there is no association that anybody is forced to enter. You enter freely if you think you need it. We don't need Christian Association of Nigeria to exist in Nigeria. The Constitution by law has already permitted me to exist in Nigeria. Freedom of association. I'm an educated man. I know my rights. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, but this association, why I say it is not a Christian association, because like I told that man on the phone, he is talking about unity, and I say, if this Bible cannot unite us together, no association can unite us. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So what is the present truth? What the Bible says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says, William Branham was the one that made that statement. He said, God is known by his characteristics. Satan is also known by his characteristics. So how do I know this is Satan? There is a characteristic of his appearance. Now, Apostle Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, where he said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work at that time. And I have explained what the mystery of iniquity is. How Satan entered the church and took over the church. Praise the Lord. So, what Apostle Peter was doing is, keep putting the people in remembrance. We, as ministers in the end time, we will also keep putting you in remembrance, so that you will be established in the present truth. And what is the present truth? The present truth is, come out of her, my people, and don't be partakers of her sin. That is the shout. That is the end time message. That is the voice of the seventh angel. That is what we believe. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are looking for. Praise the Lord. For the original. Hallelujah. Recently, when I went to Cameroon, when we arrived with Prophet Godwin, and then immediately they took us, they said there was a baptismal service going on. So they drove us straight to where they were holding the baptism, and a group of brethren were there. As soon as we came out of the car, we are just coming in like this. Spontaneously, all of them just gathered. Our eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last. As we victory shall, we are tender in the sky. Jubilee ascended, and we have responded to our Lord. I was very, very moved. And when I got to them, I found out All of them that came for baptism that day, it was from this channel, the Bright Television. Hearing what we are saying, their eyes were open, and they are now established in the present truth. When Apostle Paul said the mystery of iniquity doth already work, from that time, not only Paul, Peter repeated the same thing, John repeated the same thing. Hallelujah. John said, test all spirits. Don't just see any spirit and say, hey, because they say in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Apostle Paul said there is another Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jude also then told us, said, contend for the faith. That was one delivered to him. He said, for some men have crept in unawares. They creep in unawares. And a different picture of the Christian faith has been presented. It is our duty to always remind you. We will give you all, you know, the points given in the scripture that will make you stand and never be shaken by what is going on. That many of you take a stand. This time, not because you belong to a church, but because of a revelation you have. A revelation that you have. We are moving from being a Christian only among brethren and going into maturity. Where you are no longer just a Christian when you are in the midst of your church members. Hypocritic Christianity. We are now moving into where now you are now having an established relationship between you and God. Wherever you are a Christian. You will stand for the truth. You won't bend it. No situation will bend you for any reason. And God is preparing us like that because we don't know what next the Antichrist will be planning. Like William Branham was speaking one time, and he said, all these places, you people are gathering there and saying you are church to church. He said, time is going to come where they are going to be warehouses. There will be shopping malls because they will not allow you to gather and worship. So if your Christianity is only within a group of people, not an individual thing, at that time, you will go back to the world. And so it is good now. I am speaking to the seed of God, not the tares. Because even in this church, there are tares. Oh, are you hearing me? Even in this church, every gathering, they are there. It's a mixed multitude because this is a revival. This church is a revival, the product of a revival. And every revival causes attraction. And it attracts mixed multitude. That is why time has come now where you focus yourself on yourself, not on your brother or your sister. Hallelujah. Because you don't know who is who. But we have a standard of judgment by their fruits. You shall know them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so I want to pick an area to open your eyes to look at today. 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's where we shall dwell for today. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm reading it up to verse 5, verse 1 to 5. 2 Timothy. That is where I am speaking from. That is where I want to open your eyes to see something. And we will continue to be opening your eyes to see something. You have seen the divine agenda. But now let's see a little, the little things that we need to just take heed to and watch. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. For all this while, You don't need explanation because they are fulfilled before your eyes. You see it every day. But where I am going is verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And my little topic, I titled it, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For those of you who like writing them down. Having a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness. Remember, the emphasis there is a form. A form means it's a type, an appearance of godliness. But they deny the same power of godliness. They have a form of godliness. But the same people that have that form of godliness, they deny the same power, the power of that same godliness. And he said, from such people, turn away. Remember, the entire message is, come out of her, my people. So I'm trying to show you a group of people you should come out from. Amen. And to come out from them, it's not just leaving an address, leaving an association, but also putting away the type of practice they practice. Turn away. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What is the power of God first? When you talk of the power of God, you are talking about God displaying his attributes. The attributes that only him has. It's called the power of God. Power of God means God, the displayed power that only God himself has. When it is displayed, you say that is the power of God. It is a display of his authority. Authority of God is the power of God. Hallelujah. When therefore Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that ye shall receive power. Amen. Power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have the power of God. Any other thing you do, you'll be doing it by your own power, by your own authority. Praise the Lord. You can only be godly if God dwells in you. And so, when he told the disciples, he's going away and he will come back shortly. And the Father will send a comforter. They were not to go out and minister anywhere until they receive the power. You have no right to go out and witness the cross and preach the gospel and cast out devils until you have received the power. And you cannot receive that power until you go to the upper room and wait. What is the upper room? The upper room is a prayer room. Hallelujah. Listen again. If not, you will be just acting. William Branham called it sticking the fetters. You stick the fetters to look like an eagle. You go and carry the eagle's fetters and stick in your body. A chicken wants to look like an eagle. Amen. Praise the Lord. The feathers of an eagle, you don't use gum or aradite to gum it. It grows naturally. What you see outside came from a walk inside. Hallelujah. And if that wing, that feathers on that wing is produced from a walk of a power inside, hallelujah, no wind can blow it away. No storm can blow it away. One characteristic of the eagle that distinguishes it from other birds is that the storm that will scatter the wings of other birds in the air, that is the storm that the eagle loves because it helps him move about. He'll just spread. The thing will just be carrying him. Hallelujah. His wings are so big, you can't pull it away. They are strong. Praise the Lord. They are made to fly high. They are made to contain the adverse situation, adverse weather. So if you go and you want to look like eagle, the time will come when your marriage will be delayed. Then you will discover how much more you can continue to fly. They are the ones after some time they will go back and wear trousers. Make her not do this in okay, husband. No. They say, I'm not fine, I don't wear trousers, I don't paint my face. But you will be having like other eagles. The other eagles, they are not doing it because they want to get married. Oh no. Hallelujah. It is just part of them. They can't even help it. They just found themselves like that by a power that they have received inside. Ye shall receive power. He said, after that you have received the Holy Ghost. Which power? Number one, power of transformation. The power that can turn a carnal person to a spiritual person, that can turn a sinner to a saint, that transforms you. If a man be in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he is a new creature. Not water baptism. You don't become a new person when you enter the water. No. After you enter the water, you come out, then you are ready to receive the power. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number one, power of transformation. Number two, power to cast out devils and power to preach the gospel. If you go by your own power to cast out devils because other people are casting out devils, then you too say, me too, and they go and cast out devils. Hey, Paul I know, that Jesus I know, the seven sons of Sceva. But who are you? Satan will always ask you. Amen. Hallelujah. Power, 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 power. A power to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. Now, not just when you say power to preach the gospel. People think that it is power to scream and shout. Anybody can shout. Is it difficult to shout? Eh? Is it difficult to shout? If you have problem, you will know how to shout so that they will hear you. Was it by the Holy Ghost that Zacchaeus shouted? Eh? He shouted until they tried to close his mouth. Jesus, the more you close, the more he shouted. So it was not by the power of the Holy Ghost he was shouting, because there are a lot of people that go behind the pulpit and you see them. Listen carefully. He's saying nothing. Nothing. Actors behind the pulpit. Doing drama behind the pulpit. Then they are sweating. And somebody is thinking that it is the Holy Ghost that is making him shout. Certainly it's a spirit that is making him shout. But it is not the Holy Ghost. That is not the power referred to there. The power to preach the word is the power that follows what you are saying. Do you understand? The power to preach the gospel is the power that comes from you while Peter yet spake. Hallelujah. You come to church and you hear nothing that can make you take an inward look at yourself. That preacher did not have power. 3 power. Power in 3 areas. Praise the Lord. Now, the emphasis here. Hallelujah. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. They acknowledge God. That is a form of godliness. The acknowledgement of God by worshiping Him and calling on His name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. But it is only a form. It is only a form. And this group of people praise God. When you look at them, they are the ones that have dominated Christianity today. Their churches are the ones known before the worldly people who don't know what Christianity is. They are the ones looked at as the representative of Christians. They have a large followership because it is a form of godliness. After all, Hindu is a form of godliness. Islam is a form of godliness. Buddhist is a form of godliness. Hare Krishna is a form of God. Even Grail movement and Ekanka, they are forms of godliness. All, every one of them acknowledge God. Every one of them believe that they are worshipping the true God. It's a form of godliness. But the one that is even we are concerned about are those who have decided to follow Christianity. Now, Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 7 told us there are two ways. One is rough and narrow. Few there be that find that way. There's another one that is wide. The gate is wide. The way is broad. Many follow it. But the end of that one is destruction. But the rough one, the end of it is life. Ah, Jesus. That way is Christianity. You either follow God, the way of the cross, or you follow the doesn't matter way. Drop the cross. Just hang it as some piece of jewelry. Carry Bible. Any other thing Christians do, learn how to do it. Learn how to speak in tongue. Learn how to do whatever they do. Then you are a Christian. God is a good God. They have a form of godliness. And this is a serious matter I'm looking at. Mark chapter 11 demonstrates what we are talking about. And I'm taking this very seriously because I have discovered from testimonies we have, from emails, SMS, text messages, that a lot of people around the world are receiving true salvation through this ministry, through what we are saying in this ministry. And I've since known that when I'm speaking here, and any other pastor, you are preaching at this pulpit, we are talking to the whole world. God himself is sending these eye-opening messages to his people around the world. And they are responding to it. I'm telling you this thing. Not to be humble over it, I am telling you that is the truth. That's why, as I'm preaching now, I'm not talking to all of you sitting there here only. I'm talking to somebody that will come across this message sometime to come. And those who are listening now, because somebody called me, I think from Zamfara or so, where you told me, I saw your text, where you said you have stopped going to any church since you came across us. On Sunday, you just sit down before your television set. Why? Because you say, you are thanking me that your eyes have been opened. Another one from the east also, I think Favor is your name. You said how God has used the messages here and transformed your life, that now your eyes of understanding have been opened. Even your husband has now converted, listening to us. You see, so when we stand here to preach, we are obligated to say it as it should be. Hallelujah. One that sent a text message said, now he worships with us online, somewhere in the north there. And now he doesn't know when it's time for offering, doesn't know how does he send his offering. When it is time for offering, because he's an online member. Confusion. People are now getting liberated. while the Antichrist system, they are getting angry with us. But we are unstoppable. The Roman Catholic Church killed everyone that rose up. But when it was time for the light to shine through Martin Luther, they could not kill him. Oh yes, because it was the appointed time. Hallelujah. It was the appointed time. This is the time for the message to be revived again. Oh yes. Praise God. This is the time for the message to revive again. And I call it revive, revive, revive. In Congo, I understand Congo, Uganda, all those East African countries, as redeem is to Nigeria here, everywhere redeem, redeem. That is what the end time message is over there. Somebody told me from Uganda, our brother that came from Uganda, he said he's surprised the how it is here. He said that when you reach the airport in Uganda, just get a taxi. You don't know anybody. Just say you are looking for the Church of the Brethren, because they are, that is their nickname. They call themselves Brethren, 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 Brother, 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 Brother. So you just say, oh, when you say Church of the Brethren, they say, oh, Abraham. The taxi driver will say, Abraham. They will tell you there's one near here. They will drive you straight there. They are known everywhere. Somebody came from Congo, either Congo or Angola also. He was telling me, telling us here, he said he's surprised that William Branham was English speaking. He spoke, he preached, he was an American, English speaking. He said they had the prophet by interpretation of the tapes that he left behind. And revival everywhere there. He said he came to the English speaking West Africa. He said, and they don't know who is William Branham. They don't know the message. No, not that it's not meant for them. Satan invented the message when he came to this part of the world. Who has the final say over salvation? Shout the name of who has the final say.